With prices moving up in Australian real estate, it's fair for people to start thinking, is this the top? I don't want to buy when everyone else is FOMOing in. And the reality is we're actually really far from the top. And I know it's really hard to believe, but I'm going to share with you some data points that are quite revealing in terms of where we are in part of the market cycle and why there is an amazing opportunity to build significant wealth with real estate, especially over the next 24 months. If you're interested in what my thoughts are, then definitely keep watching. Hey guys, my name is Ravi and welcome back to Personal Finance with Ravi Sharma. If you're new here, smash that subscribe button because I talk about real estate, cryptocurrency, and financial freedom. And if you are interested in a free ebook, definitely use the link in the description below. You can download the ebook and I promise you, I won't smash you with a bunch of marketing garbage. It's all gonna be value add so you can take a step closer towards financial freedom. Now, the number of dwellings being completed in Australia remains well below pre-pandemic levels, contributing to the country's current housing supply crisis. A new CoreLogic report analyzing the ongoing effects of the pandemic on Australia's housing market predicts construction blowouts will likely worsen this year. Unit construction projects now take on average 8.3 quarters from start to finish, or more than 2 years. That's 6 months more than the 6.3 quarters of building time before the pandemic began. Townhouses take on average 4.1 quarters, just over a year, while new house constructions take 3.1 quarters to complete, or more than 9 months. The average house completion time before the pandemic was just over 6 months. So previously on the channel, I've covered off the fact that approvals are really low and we're simply not building enough. What I'm covering off here is that it's actually taking longer to build something. So first you've got to get the approval and the approvals are taking longer. And once you get the approvals, then actually building something is also taking longer. So when you combine these things, it means that we really have a cheat sheet as to what supply could look like over the next 24 months. Because in reality, unless we're going to see significant amounts of approvals now, those actual construction projects won't come into fruition for at least 18 months. And based on what we're seeing right now, is that timeline keeps getting bigger, bigger, and bigger. And that is a big problem because we need supply right now. We have a rental crisis with not enough rental properties being available. Australia's vacancy rate is well below 1%, and that causes a lot of issues in general in the economy, but it mainly means that rents actually go up. And the reason why rents going up is such a big problem for the economy is that if you were previously spending about 20% of your actual income weekly towards rent, you had 80% left to spend in the economy doing other things. But now, as the rents increase, and it increases the proportion of how much your income is being spent on things like rent and housing, then you have less to spend in the economy. And that's generally how the monetary policy works. Because as interest rates go up, rents usually go up, and interest repayments on housing goes up. And that naturally means less in the economy, and the economy starts to shrink. And we did this on purpose, because inflation was running hot. But what we've seen recently is deflation is gonna start becoming a problem, and it might not be a problem right now, but it could be in the next 24 months. So we covered off the fact that it takes longer for approvals. We simply aren't getting enough approvals now. We also are taking longer to build something, and then to compound to all of this, construction costs are also increasing. And what we've seen is construction costs were so high over the last 18 months, we've started seeing that number come down, but it is still quite high relative to where we were pre-pandemic. So naturally, people are having to borrow more to build something that they could have built for like 20 or 30% less only a couple of years ago. This also then stops people from going and building something new and just saying, well, what's the point? Let me just buy something that already exists. Now, over the last couple of years, I've covered extensively on this channel the problem with the government strategy that aimed to build like 1.2 million homes. It sounded really good on paper, but I had no confidence that they were going to actually execute. So let's see what the update is on that front. Under the federal government strategy to see 1.2 million homes built in the next 5 years, Australia would need to add 60,000 dwellings a quarter. Tuesday's quarterly data from the ABS shows new dwellings are continuing to lag the ambitious target. The latest figures put the country's total housing stock at more than 11.1 million residential dwellings as at December 2023. However, it's the record mean price for residential dwellings that perhaps gives the best indication of how low supply and hot demand is fueling Australia's property value. New figures released on Tuesday shows 12,850 dwellings were approved nationally in January. So if you were to go and see what that looked like from a quarter perspective, we would be nowhere close to that 60,000 number. Private house approvals led the 1% monthly drop in building approvals for Jan 2024, followed by a 10.1% fall in December, seasonally adjusted. And all this basically means is that we are screwed because we are not building enough houses. And although there was a massive target, I think they brought out the massive target to then say, well, don't worry, we're building the homes. Now let's open the immigration floodgates. And we have all of these people come into the country, but don't worry, we're about to build all these houses. And clearly the government was wrong yet again. The figure follows forecasts from Housing Industry Australia that fewer than 100,000 new construction projects will begin in Australia in 2024, which is the lowest in the decade. HIA predicts Australia will fall short of 175,000 homes by 2027. I'm going to go out on record and say we're probably going to need a hell of a lot more, and the crisis will be a lot worse by 2027. There is only one thing that could possibly change this, and it would be to introduce something like a home builder package and at the same time have interest rates drop quite significantly. But even if we have those scenarios play out, which again is most likely not going to happen, you would still see a lag of about 18 months before we saw all that new supply come into the market. Which is why it is so important that you realign your expectations and your mindset around getting into the property market. I hear it all the time.
Oh, I'm waiting because the market's going to drop. Oh, it's going to cool off because, you know, interest rates are so high.
The reality is it's so different to what barbecue conversations look like versus if you're in this 24/7. As you may know, we run a buyer's agency, one of the fastest growing in all of Australia. And we pick up anywhere from 10 to 20 properties every single week. So we get a lot of intel because we also get rejected on a hell of a lot of deals because we're just trying to negotiate on behalf of our clients. And that gives us so much insight into different markets, different price points. And what we're seeing is it's very different now than it was even 6 months ago. People are coming, and just because the couple of people closest to you are hoping there's a crash, it doesn't mean it eventuates into a crash. You should definitely subscribe to this channel because I will be the first to come out and say, look, some of the stuff is looking shaky. This is probably when you don't want to buy property. Nobody else is going to tell you that. I was coming out and saying Sydney and Melbourne don't make any sense, especially when interest rates started moving up. So you could go back to the peak of Sydney prices in and around 2021 and 22, and I was making videos around that already. Now, naturally, when you have prices go up, people are concerned because affordability is a major concern. You can't rent because it's too expensive, and if you're renting somewhere where rents have gone up, it takes you a lot longer to save your money. So then you have the government intervene, and we know what happens when the government intervenes. We can't just have a free market these days, unfortunately. So when you see headlines like this, this is where you've got to start putting your thinking cap on and saying, okay, I need to execute. First home buyers accessing super could drive house prices $74,000 higher. The argument to allow first home buyers access to their super for a house deposit has ignited amid soaring property prices. But could it pour fuel on the fire? Well, let me think about that. If there's money that you can suddenly use to purchase your own home, that's going to cause prices to go higher. Now, I have made a video around how you can buy real estate with your self-managed super fund. It's something that doesn't get talked about in detail until this video. So definitely go check it out. It's a whiteboard video that breaks down the numbers and using real estate, how you can actually go and supercharge your super, even if it's just with one property. So definitely go check out that one after this one. But the main point is, with that strategy and how it's set up right now, is that you can go ahead and purchase investment properties in your super, but you can't purchase your first home to live in. And what this could suggest is that there could be a policy that might come out. I'm not sure whether it happens or not, but if something like this comes in, you're going to start seeing emotional buyers want to secure something for themselves a lot higher than they could actually afford. And super is very important as part of your retirement. As for me, I advocate for building out your retirement portfolio well before you're in your 60s. So if you do this early and you execute with the right team, you could definitely go and retire with financial freedom in your 40s and 50s, depending on when you start. If you need any help with that, there's a link in the description below to book a free discovery call so you can understand how everything works. In addition to that, definitely go check out this video. It breaks down the step-by-step process, as well as the stories of people just like yourself that watched me on YouTube and then decided, hey, this guy seems like he's a nice dude. Let me go use their service. And they've gone out and killed it. So if you're interested in any of that, definitely go ahead and book in a call. It can be a very exciting time for anyone that holds assets, but even when prices go up, you pretty much will get FOMO as well, and you might buy at the wrong time, negating all of the positive gains you've made in your portfolio. It's why the strategy is so important. And something to pay attention to is consumer confidence, because as that number rises and gets to the top, that's pretty much when you know people agree, people think that they can make money everywhere, and that might be the time to then rotate your funds out, maybe through real estate or into cash itself. Again, keep following the channel because I'm going to be covering everything from the 18.6 year cycle, which effectively is predicting a top in 2026. I'm not so sure it's going to be in 2026, but that's why we sit here, we analyze data and make fun of everything that is real estate. If you guys are interested in more content like this, subscribe if you haven't already, and I'll catch you guys in the next one. Thanks, guys.